AM on February the 11th. And we'll establish a quorum, please. Go ahead.
Stu Martinez, present.
Greg Jones, present.
Kathy Agin, present.
Karen Ward, present.
And the mayor's present.
And for the record, Conrad Parker, our student, called, and he's excused.
Okay. Now, if we could have the Pledge of Allegiance, please, and Scott, old Navy man like you.
All right.
Lead us in the pledge, please.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any added agenda items?
Oh, yeah. So, I got to figure this out because now we can hand schedule. Patty put it all in here. We need to appoint members to our Public Works Committee.
Okay.
Their terms expired. We have our proclamation resolution on that. Oh, RDI for Kathy DeBone and crew. And I don't know who's here, but the crew is, I'm sure. That's for a grant thing.
I think the budget officer too, Rick.
Oh yeah, what, you need to appoint someone as budget officer. Myself. What's this grant application? Something to the cemetery? Why is this in here? Is this in all of yours?
One should be the proposal and this should be the application for the grant.
Well, maybe it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's, I guess, it.
Okay.
So,
I believe I'm looking at where to put the grant.
Oh, for Kathy?
Yes.
Oh, we could do, since we got other...
After the wildfire?
Sure. Kathy, where is she? I don't see her here.
She's hiding back there now.
Rick, we have a PowerPoint presentation. We'll need some help setting up.
Oh, well then...
This is where you need to come down and...
No problem.
We're hooked up.
Is that way up or are we hooked up? Because I didn't know you were bringing one.
I don't know.
Oh, I can come get it. Probably all going. Probably. Well, I think we better put her at the end then.
Good.
That'll.
Teacher.
Yeah. Number 28.
There's only 19 items.
These are all pretty quick tonight.
Yeah, they are. I, with only being 19, I'm sure everybody got the message. All right. So we have that right here. Okay. All right. Thank you for your patience. We will move to the consent agenda. And is there any comments or discussions on the consent agenda?
Still catching up with them. I have a possible conflict with the builder workers.
Okay. Let the record reflect that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a correction on the Lapine Rodeo Association, number
minutes,
nine.
Minutes.
Minutes.
On the 14th.
On the 14th. That should read, Councilor Agin suggested 2,000 now and 3,000 during the new budget.
Okay, any others? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I shall move.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. And at this time, we'll have public comment. Anybody here for public comment this evening?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd like to thank Rick for our barricade down on the end of Cagle Road. Thanks for following up on that.
You're welcome.
I brought Mayor some signs here that just didn't got to be picked up. Probably the roads are too rough to pick them up, but they're being graded today.
I actually was going to stop and pick those up a few times myself. He's been busy.
Okay. All right. Thanks for grading the roads off, and I just wondered if that's going to be kept up in any special agenda, or like two times a year, three times a year.
Well, or what we're doing on the roads out there, well, first, Scott and the crew went out and put the barricade up for you. That's where I talked to put the barricade into Cagle Road.
Thank you very much. There's been a few cars trying to make it down through there already.
You know, this winter's been harder on the Cagle Road just because of it's odd, it's warm, and then it was frozen underneath and the water, and you know, it's sad. So we did what our normal plan the council has approved in the past. We've done it twice a year, in the spring and the fall. We do this subdivision. Last year, we ended up doing it in the summer, about July-ish. So we actually did it a third time. And then this year, now. So in reality, because we'll do it in April. So it's will be four times this year. So our normal thing has been twice. Of course, once you do it four times, guess what?
Six. Expect four times.
Yeah. And today, I had a call from a gentleman over on schedule. Him and his neighbor were upset because it wasn't being done properly. The person doing it hit by three times, and he should have only been by twice. He turned around at the wrong location, and he's turning the rock wrong. You know, those are the type of calls you get here. So earlier today or yesterday, it was because they weren't graded, and today they were upset because they were being graded and how they were being graded. You're here to compliment how they're being graded. So it's welcome to running a city and trying to make people happy. But we'll continue trying to do the right thing.
I mean, is there, can you, any plans to just maybe grade Cagle? Because all the side streets don't need grading all.
Well, what we're doing is we set aside $40,000 in the budget from last year, so we'll be able to carry it forward. I would like to go spend about $100,000 on Cagle Road alone and grout, widening it to where you actually can have two cars pass a little bit, get it more to call it a regular county width, and then also putting 8 inches of base rock, raising it, and making it to where it's a, call it a true... good county type standard road. Then if we ever paved it, it'd be easier. But you know, we could do Cagle, and that's the goal. So we're gonna do our budgets coming up, and that could be one of those things to keep setting money aside to try to get Cagle improved next year or the year after, to where it shortens everyone's distance on bad gravel in half.
Right. Right.
That's exactly. And I think the council supports that. We just have to figure it out.
And also I have to comment on the nuisance variances or the you know, enforcement. That's going along. Seems really improved a lot. There's still a lot of long ways to go, but tonight I'm doing a
thank you
comment, forward.
Yeah.
I've been positive today.
Awesome.
Maybe tomorrow. But thank you anyways.
Right.
And as far as the water issues, those things are going to start coming up. Public meetings on them?
The Cagle sewer water is going to come along in the fall once we get results from a consultant.
Right. Okay.
But as far as the public out there knowing, because everybody I talk to, they don't...
Well, that's when we'll start that.
You'll start having the meetings done.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Could we get your name and address for the record, please?
Dennis Scott, 5270 Marie Drive.
Okay. Thank you.
I was just going to, Jim Fleming, Public Works. I was just going to
as far as Kate goes, you're right, is it was September, you said. But yeah. The 17th at 6 o'clock here, yes. We're going to discuss the water rates and sewer rates. So if you're interested in it, you should come down to the meeting.
Yeah, it'll be a presentation.
So there's no rumors going around, and the false rumors get the truth.
Right.
Wasn't the 17th the night we switched for the public works meeting?
That is it.
I mean our work session?
Right. Well, we never moved the work. I mean, that is our work session.
Okay, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
I got
kind of the same.
It the other day, and I was confused if we were going to put them together or just going to...
Well, and I might have a suggestion later for the following one, Tuesday, before you take off for you guys going to Salem on
right.
Thursday
okay.
for a Friday.
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll move to the presentation by the Lodgepole Dodgers.
That's me.
And the red button, push that down and that'll leave it on permanently if it's working.
It's apparently not.
Okay.
It's down, but it's not. I'll talk loud. So, my name is Ron Pugh. I'm representing the Lapine Lodgepole Dodgers. I was here in October and met with most of you, and we were here with the president, Rick Bice, to ask for some support of our convention that was scheduled for January, and I wanted to come give some feedback to how it went. I sat through a lot of this kind of stuff myself in my career, and people would come and ask for things and we never hear from them again and never knew what happened. So I just thought it would be appropriate to give you a little feedback. I'll try to be brief because I know you have a lot on the agenda tonight. And the other reason I wanted to give you feedback, and primarily thank you. You helped us have a very successful convention is the bottom line. If you'll remember when I was here in October, we were here, we told you we had three objectives of what we were trying to do with the convention. One was to show our guests a very positive experience. Two was in doing so, hope that at least some of them would want to return. And three, we were hoping to showcase Newberry Crater as one of the premier snowmobile areas in the state of Oregon. And we were successful in two of those three objectives anyway, very successful. We had approximately 220 people attend, which was actually about what we expected. I think we all agree if we'd had more snow, we'd have probably had maybe 50 or 60 more. But anyway, with the fact that we had almost no snow and we had 220 people, we felt that was really successful. Most of those people were from Oregon. We don't have an exact count, but just I went around talking to people a lot, and some of the other members did. We figure at least 75% of them were from Oregon, maybe more. But there were a few from other states, Idaho, Washington. I think a couple from California. The event, the whole convention, is actually consisted of about 5 days. There were some organized rides during the week. Each evening had a social event, and then there were different club meetings. The state association met, had their statewide meeting, and we had a couple of our local club meetings. We estimate there were about 220, and there's no hard number for this, but this is just a kind of ballpark. We figure about 220 nights of lodging, and that's just using half the people were here for an average of two nights, so about 220 nights of lodging, and that was all over. There were some in RVs and motels and different rental homes, that sort of thing. So there's no way to measure that, but we feel that was probably a pretty good shot in the community's finances. Not to mention the restaurants, gas stations, and all that. What we've
absolutely.
Yeah, okay. That's the feedback we've been getting. In fact, I just heard some again tonight. The businesses in town were all pretty tickled with how it went and what we brought them for those 5 days. Our guests were, I think it'd be fair to say, unanimously thrilled with the event. We heard nothing but positive comments. It was a really well-received fact. They were asking us on various occasions, and still ask, I think, if we'd do it again next year. That's actually been discussed, because it was pretty fun and successful, but we generally, I think, wanted to take a year off, and maybe consider it in 2016. I'm almost finished. The only downside, and I've already alluded to it, was there wasn't any snow, and of course that's nobody's fault. Newberry essentially had nothing. I mean, there was not enough snow to even get out of the snow park. There were one little group of five venturous souls went up and tried it for a day, but for what we ended up having, because that's where everything was supposed to be. I told you that was one of our objectives, showcasing Newberry Crater. We had to move everything to Bachelor and that kind of hurt. But at least we have Bachelor to choose from, which is a real asset, because if we'd have been in most of the other places in the state, they don't have a plan B like we do. So, and with that, CAPCA, the new snow park that was built just this fall, again, saved us, because Dutchman, if you're familiar with these places, but Dutchman no way would have handled the number of people that we had. I know the day I went on the ride, we had 90, I believe, that we were riding. And so and Dutchman can handle maybe a third of that, and that's not counting the rest of the public. So it was a CAPCA saved us, but we didn't get to accomplish the objective of showcasing Newberry Crater, because we couldn't even take them up there hardly. So that's one of the incentives to maybe do it again in 2 years, is we still want to do that. And then on behalf of the Lodgewood Dodgers, I want to thank you and all the business. We had a tremendous, I think just about every business in town donated some kind of a something, money or food or some things for our raffles and that sort of thing. So it was just a real community effort that I think is part of why the people want to come back. I already mentioned future plans. We don't have any firm, but maybe in 2016. And then with that, I have this little token. It's a little metal snowmobile, if you can't tell. But it was what we had. Everybody had access to these anyway. There were prizes and stuff. So I want to give it to whoever. I don't know how to give a city council a gift, but or even if I can. There's no value, so it's not a bribe. So, and I know I see some just looking around the room. There were people in the here in the audience now that were at our convention. So maybe they have something to add. I don't know. Other than that, do you have any questions?
Any questions?
We just look forward to the next time you're here.
Yeah,
it sounds great. Awesome.
Sounds I was like at the dinner. Great.
Okay.
It was wonderful. The food was fabulous, and everybody was positive and upbeat.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I was delighted.
Yeah,
so many positive things. They had a blast.
Yeah,
they loved it.
Well said, because that's what I was trying to relay is we heard it just across. The only negative that happened at all, and it was a miscommunication. Elk Lake, we went there for lunch on one of the ride days, mm-hmm. Elk Lake Resort, and somehow they were told there would be 30 people, and there was about 90 of us, and they were having a wedding at the same time, so it was way too crowded, but Elk Lake handled it. I don't think anybody went without food and drink, and so other than that, though, really good.
Well, you know, it's a great opportunity for you to to come here and show it, because the association hasn't been here before, I understand.
Correct.
And the opportunity to, and maybe in 16, when we get a bumper snow crop, it'll just be that much grander.
That's our hope.
But I have too personally heard so much about how great it was, and the facilities were used, and the businesses are happy. So I applaud you for all the hard work.
Well, not me. There's a whole bunch of people, but I will pass that on.
The organization. So. Great effort, a great event, and come back soon.
Okay. Yeah, the problem, and I'm done, but we have to commit. They're right now planning where it's going to go next year, so there's no way to know how much snow we're going to have now in next January. So, and that's even being discussed at what time of year to have it. But anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right. Oh, where do you want your non-gift?
Yeah.
All right.
And Peggy, speaker, lodgepole, and et cetera. Tell us.
Mr. Mayor, on behalf of the Oregon State Snowmobile Association, we would like to thank the community. Thank you for the support and the enthusiasm of everyone. Because the snowmobilers, like Ron said, the snowmobilers loved it. They want to come back. And even without snow, they had a great time and they loved it. So thank you all so much.
Thank you, Peggy. I have no doubt that the council is more than pleased with the way that they were able to participate in the event, and would look forward to the opportunity again in the future. So, introduction of Scott Morgan, Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee member. Scott, would you like to come up, please?
Sure. I didn't get you one of these.
appreciate the opportunity to come up and introduce myself to you folks.
Name and address.
Name and address. 15994 Fir Road.
Thank you.
Real briefly, I retired from the Navy this last March, bought a house up here in April, and was looking to do something in the volunteer field, I guess I'd say. And probably August or September last year, there was an article in the Newberry Eagle about, does anybody want to volunteer and be the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee representative for Lapine? I've been bicycling for about 5 years. You can sort of see a little bit of what it's about on the brochure or the piece of paper I handed out. And I said, you know what, I can align with this kind of thing. It's about bicycle safety for recreational riders, commuters, kids, people going to and from work. Had a chance to sit down and talk with the mayor. Again, thanks for having me here today. Got a chance to sit down and talk with the city manager a little bit, understand what their vision is for Lapine going forward a little bit. And got a little direction, so I kind of know where I'm at. It's an interesting committee. They meet once a month, so you know, you get a little bit out of that once a month hour-long meeting, but it's really about me making personal contacts with people. And I'd probably like to say that after 6 or 7 months, I'm starting to meet some of the right people so I can go forward with some things I think Lapine would like. And I like to get direction. One of the things I said is I don't want to be going down a path that nobody else wants to see me go down. That's not what I want to do. I read the mission statement for the city about considered growth and things like that that you have on the website, and I think that's very wise choice, obviously, good choice. And so anything that I start, you know, I'm going to feed you a couple things here today, but let me know. I'm very back and forth on communication, so let me know if, hey, that's a really bad idea, or hey, that sounds great, just please let me know. I got a few things on a list I want to run down to highlight, and really it is just to let you know who I am. You've got a face. If something comes up, it's bike safety, pedestrian safety, and I feel that our streets are probably pretty safe compared to a lot of cities that I've been in for people on foot and people on bike, but there can always be improvements, and that's probably part of what this is about. So if you take a look there, they talk about pedestrian and bicycle pathways and programs like that. They talk about stimulating public awareness about bikes and pedestrian safety, and also a little bit about money and funding opportunities out there. So I've been leaning in that direction a little bit. I got started after speaking with the mayor, went over and talked to the director at Lapine Parks and Rec, and developed a relationship there. So I'm going to do some individual rides once it warms up. It's almost warm enough right now to do that. Do 10 and 20 and 40 mile rides right out of the community center, see if there's public interest in doing that kind of thing. That's for me kind of as an individual to get out there and ride my bike. And riding alone is lonely. It gets boring. So I'll see if there's other people that are interested. We're also going to run a little maintenance class there for anybody can come to it, but I'm kind of thinking of the kids that I see riding the bikes all the time. They come in, learn how to turn a wrench, how to change a tire, some of that kind of stuff. So it evolved from that to a conversation about bike stations. And a bike station is something that you'd have a fixed station where people could come, fix their bike, blow a tire up. Nothing gets stolen from there. It's just a fixed location instead of having to go to the gas station, so to speak, to get your bike fixed. There is a PowerPoint that I sent out to a couple people that talked about Central Oregon hubs, which is an idea of developing different, more developed hubs, almost like an informational kiosk for bicyclists and other tourist type attractions. That's something I talked with the director about a couple times, talked to a gentleman at ODOT. It's one of the ODOT projects for Central Oregon. We're going to meet next month and sit down and see what the next step is. There's grants associated with it. There's money out there for this kind of thing. And just to see, hey, talk about a couple sites maybe that might be the right place to set up something like that down in Lapine. What is the funding? What's the next step? It seems like they're interested over at Parks and Rec, so that's going to be a conversation that we're going to have. My mind, too, is where's the right spot for everybody, right? What works for everybody? So I think there'll be further conversations as we go forward with that. I'm not just concerned about the bicycle piece. I like the whole idea behind 10,000 steps. I don't know if that's something that people are familiar with, but I've got a mom who's quite elderly and a stepdad, and one of the newer things is say, get out and take 10,000 steps a day. Well, we've got a nice path that goes from the community center up by Bi-Mart, then down to by the senior center, all the way down to Crescent Creek. Now, there and back is probably not quite 4 miles, but I'm highly enthusiastic about things that have to do with health. So whether it's that when it's nice weather, or walking around the community center in the winter, or playing pickleball in the center, all those kind of things are great in my mind. It's the kind of stuff I like to do. I like to see other people doing.
let's see, so I made a good link with ODOT, the state level rep, the gentleman who runs the highways maintenance here, and spoke on the phone with him today, reaching out to them to try to get a good handle on what the projects are that are going on in the area. The one here at First and 97, then up at Wiki Up Junction. So he's a state level gentleman. I know he's talked to the city manager about different things that are going on here, but he also gave me a name for county roads so I can look into county road projects. I know we had discussed some of that, Mr. Mayor.
Right.
And so that's only a phone call away probably. We talked about half an hour, so I think I'm going down the right road there. So I feel good. I met the school board last night, so that was good. Talk some of the same, talk a little bit different. I get to meet the city council today. It's great. I'm looking forward to, I need to meet the chamber, so I went on their website and see that the chamber does a morning breakfast, I think, and I need to either invite myself or just show up and talk to them and maybe talk about a few things.
Bring $10 and you can come.
All right, I'll bring $10 and pennies, and I'll be there.
They'd probably let you speak sometime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's some things there on the, there's always a financial piece to everything. So what I'd really like to do is get in front of them and talk to them about the Oregon Bicycle Friendly Business Program that they started up last year. I think about 370 businesses across the state joined that. It sort of hooks into some of the stuff on the website when you're looking for a nice place to go to a hotel or get a restaurant. Is it bicycle friendly? That's kind of the angle they have on. But it's worthwhile to have the conversation and see whether it's something they want to pursue or not. Let's see, under the public awareness piece, I also might reach out through them to talk about getting a table at Frontier Days or some kind of venue like that where I can put out some literature about bicycle safety, pedestrian safety, those kind of things, projects that might be coming up in the area, and get a little bit more face time with the public so that they say, oh yeah, some people are more interested in it and some people are less, but it's nice for them to have a venue, somebody to contact if they want to talk about any kind of issues they might have.
Okay.
Let's see. So one thing that's come up in the last couple of weeks, and you all might know more than I do, is about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a plan to say, hey, we're going to connect all of Central Oregon by bikes and pathways and whatnot. And when I got there, when I started in September or August last fall, it seemed like that had been something that had been shelved or it was done or nobody was discussing. I asked about that a couple of weeks ago because I'm real interested in a path going from La Pine, at least as far as Sun River, that people can commute on regularly or do recreationally if that's what they want to do. And I guess that was kind of a 20-year plan. 20-year plans for me are kind of long, so I'm sure a lot of us feel that way. So I kind of want to get a north-south at some point that says, hey, go ahead and pursue and ask about that and find out, like, if there's a stack there, where's La Pine in the stack? If we're really working that. So I want to say, hey, are we in the next couple few years? I'm the kind of guy, I'll have the voice, just say, hey, can we move us to the front? How do we get to the front?
Those. Isn't there one going from Lava Butte at the end?
Well, there might be. There's one that went from Sun River to Lava Butte.
It's not done yet.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. They just tried to do it. It's just down. To Black Butte, and that caused a big problem.
Yeah. And it's, but that's down and sort of away from Lava Butte.
Okay.
Toward Sun River, but the river.
They have a piece that they just connected up that went from Sun River to the Lava Butte. What is that, a forestry station right there? About 4 or 5 mile leg.
Yeah,
but I'd really like to see something. Personally, I like Huntington Road, and I know that there's going to be some work done on it. That is a very nice straight line from here to Sun River. It's not on the highway or the freeway. It's safe. All those kind of things. Anyway, that's just like, that would be great in my mind to see something like that happen.
I think, Scott, there's an opportunity there as they start planning over the next 15 months to do something with the dirt portion of Huntington that if... And if you've connected with the county people or have those names, that those are the ones you'll want to talk to about, hey, you're doing this, how about a bike pedestrian pathway in the same breath?
Right.
So that may be something you want to, I'm sure it is something.
That's something I want to do. I just haven't quite gotten there. So I'm kind of letting you know some of the things that already are ongoing. And then some of that would definitely be one of the things I want to try to get on their agenda.
Okay.
In the future. Let's see. So that's important to me. I also made contact with a group called Commute Options. They do a lot of literature, a lot of things about bike safety, and also about grants. I'm meeting with their CEO next week, so he can just sort of fill me in. I knew some of these people before, but I haven't sat down with them for a couple hours just so they could really tell me what they can do besides what I see on a website. I need more contact than that.
Is that Jeff Munson?
That's Jeff Munson and his group, and I want to, I think they might have been down here 4 or 5 years ago to talk to people about different things. And I think it's time to, you know, try it again, have the conversations again about different kinds of things that they might be able to offer for us as far as commuter options, teaching me a little bit about grants, what kind of grants and money and funding is out there for bikeways and walkways. So that'll be productive. They're also the kind of people I'd invite to come sit at a table with me if we're going to talk about bike safety at something like Frontier Days. Right. They've been doing this for, this is what they do. I'm just a volunteer, you know, so they know what to do. They also do a safe routes to school type thing, a survey thing. So I'm thinking maybe if it's positive and you know, people would like to have it happen, I'd like to do a survey just to see how the kids get to school or a route's good. I've looked at the schools. Looks very safe right there, right next to the school, safe coming across 97. It's just kind of like more of a official assessment to say, hey, we took a look at it this year, that kind
of
thing.
There's a lot of grant money available for safe routes, so that's where the money is. So
that is where the money is.
And so if safe routes to school. That's where everyone gets their money. So if we could find anywhere you could connect a kid, go bribe a couple on there and get them to walk it and take a photo.
Right.
Then we can get some other grants. But yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, Safe Route Schools, I thought if there's a way to get some of those grants, we could do some of the other streets. Morrison, that's how we could sidewalk Morrison, Stu, is because I think that, you know, we would never have the money. It's a county road anyway, but because it feeds down to the great school, you could maybe get it for the full length. And we might be able to help do that on Huntington to get some grant money with urban renewal, and that's how you'll tie this all together. And you know, where you got the ADA points, curb bulb out, so shortens the distance to where you walk and all that. So no, the safe routes. It's okay. Where most cities get a lot of their money for sidewalks. Mm-hmm. We have never had one.
And street lights.
And street lights.
Money through that. Same program.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott.
That's kind of so. That's sort of an update, right? So I am looking for direction whether I should maybe come in every other month or maybe do a memo to the council or what do you see as the right venue to get the information to you?
I think a memo to the city manager.
Okay.
And he has the opportunity to provide us update in the manager's comments at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
And then maybe every 6 months you come back and sit down with us, and because you're on the right path. Knowledge and relationships is where it needs to be now, and learning about where the money is.
Right.
So
the Public Works Committee a couple times a year, and then here a couple times a year, and if you do them, split them, it could be a reporter, and then once here, once there, you know. And I saw you at the Parks meeting last night.
Right.
And
that seemed like a good venue to
get. So, thank you.
Any questions?
Do we have a bike rack at the bus stop for the goes to Bend?
Wiki up?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, so that's something to check. You know, the idea is that people could bike there, get on the bus, and then if they're going down. A lot of places even have the locked up type metal boxes where they put them inside. But as that gets rebuilt after the Wikiup thing, you might want a good, you can even have them with a cover over them, you need to make that nice to where people will bike to it. Because I wondered if you can't drive your car to Bend, I'm surprised you can get to the Wikiup by the bus stop. Somehow you're getting there.
Yeah. Right. There is $2 million in the governor's budget that's through the regional solutions team to rebuild with Gift Junction.
Okay.
Hardly right.
Well, enough for $2 million.
Well, there is
a budget. You say they're going to have
many other things that are in that. There's two. As a matter of fact, there's a new parking ride somewhere on Highway 97 that's being looked at.
Mm.
So there's that $2 million that they're going to spread around, and one of them is an upgrade to Wikiup parking lot. So, Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Scott. At this time, we will take up the approval of the wildfire protection plan. Any comments, council? We were all at the work session, and if there's no comments or discussion, I'd entertain a motion to approve the Lapine Wildfire Protection Plan.
So moved. Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Appointment of the Planning Commissioner, Rolando Alonso.
Hi.
We need to reappoint Rolando to the Planning Commission, and Council, would you like to hear any comments from Rolando?
Got to say it.
I'd like to know if you're enjoying yourself.
I definitely am. I'm really happy to be part of the Planning Commission. Going on my 15th year here in, as a resident of Lapine, I feel with being engaged with the community and what I do here for Habitat, I feel that I would like to know and be part of any growth that's here in Lapine. And that allows me to do that, being in the Planning Commission. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I think then, with the comments of the council and that, I would like to thank you on behalf of the council for serving on the Planning Commission. It's an important committee that this city manages and has in place, and it's great work, and there'll be more work coming along. So thank you very much for being a volunteer and serving.
Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion to appoint Rolando Alonso to the Planning Commission?
I so moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in, is discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. You're back in the saddle again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rolando. Mm-hmm. Proclamation designating the city of Lapine, Oregon as a Purple Heart City. This is very dear and near to a number of us' hearts. And I would maybe ask if you'd like to say something, Councilor?
I think it's, you know, this has been not a long time planning, but the people that it honors has been a long time coming. I think we have a few folks in the audience tonight that have served our country during peacetime and, unfortunately, during conflicts and wars. I'd just like to know offhand if there's anyone out there that has received the Purple Heart. Okay. Well, thank God for that. I think this is another step for Lapine in honoring its veterans and showing the community that we respect and honor our veterans and our state and the visitors with the signs that will be going up to honor. So, with that, I just proud to have been a sponsor of this and brought it to the council, and we'll get it done.
Stu, I think we're all proud of the fact that you've done this. It's something that is an important symbol, and maybe you want to talk about the other cities, or you know, I'm not sure everybody here has heard that.
The cities, there's been a number of cities in Central Oregon. Bend recently became a Purple Heart City. Redmond, Madras is working on it. Prineville are all Purple Heart cities. And just, I was on my way home from, no, I was on my way to Corvallis last week and received a message from Dick Tobiasen, who is the chairman of the Bend Heroes Foundation, which actually honors a lot of veterans and does a lot for Central Oregon, that he was in Salem working on a bill that would designate Highway 97 a highway honoring veteran, and he's actually now, every major highway in the state of Oregon is representative of our veteran. I-5 is now designated, 84 is designated, 101 is designated, and now 97 is designated, and it became law last week. So that was another big step in honoring our veterans. And every highway that we travel is honoring our veterans. So, you know, that's another important step for our state. So we do appreciate our veterans in Oregon.
Thank you very much. City of Lapine Proclamation. A proclamation designating the City of Lapine, Oregon as a Purple Heart City. Whereas the City of Lapine, Oregon has always supported its military veteran populations, and whereas the Purple Heart is the oldest military decoration in present use and was initially created as a badge of military merit by General George Washington in 1782, and whereas the Purple Heart was the first American service award or decoration made available to the common soldier and is specifically awarded to members of the United States Armed Forces who have been wounded or paid the ultimate sacrifice in combat for the declared enemy on the United States of America, and whereas the mission of the Military Order of Purple Heart is to foster an environment of goodwill among the combat wounded veteran members and their families, promote patriotism, support legislative initiatives, and most importantly, make sure we never forget. And whereas the City of Lapine and its surrounding area has a large, highly decorated veteran population, including many Purple Heart recipients, and whereas the City of Lapine appreciates the sacrifices our Purple Heart recipients made in defending our freedoms, and believe it is important that we acknowledge them for their courage and show them the honor and support they have earned. Now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Lapine, Oregon, hereby proclaims the City of Lapine a Purple Heart City. The City Council hereby encourages the citizens of the City of Lapine to show their appreciation for sacrifices Purple Heart recipients have made in defending our freedom, to acknowledge their courage, and to show them the honor and support they have earned. Approved by the City Council and signed this 11th day of February, 2015. And it's my privilege to sign this document. Comments, Council?
ODOT's going to put up the signs when you get them, how that's being done.
And send it to sign and fax him a copy of it. They'll
move forward. Okay.
They charge us.
Nope, it's all free.
That one's free. They charge us to change the population.
Oh, they did.
No, they are. Oh, they. Yeah, they said they only do it when you ask and you pay. So I said you wanted to change, so we're going.
I don't think that surprises anybody. Again, thank you, Stu, for bringing it forward.
It's, you know, it's an honor of not only our veterans that, you know, are getting up there in age or did this when they were 18 years old, but to the new guys that are just coming home that are 17, 18, 19 years old. You know, so.
Agreed. Item number 12 is, and I would ask that everybody sign this as we, if you've got an opportunity right now as we're sort of moving along, to go ahead and sign the proclamation.
It's been signed by everybody but you.
Oh.
You're the last.
Sure.
I didn't know.
Is there a motion to approve the proclamation as read?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Committee member to participate in the Deschutes County's 100th centennial birthday. Do we have anybody in the audience?
It's Washington, D.C.'s birthday.
It's Deschutes County's 100th birthday.
And then she said Washington, D.C. I couldn't figure out why the county was sending that to me.
So, well, first let me ask the council, is there anybody on the council who would like to participate in, or be a member of the committee in Deschutes County's, in pulling together Deschutes County's 100th centennial birthday?
Do we have a historical society here?
No.
Yeah, she did tell me that it's a once a month meeting and then gets busier as it gets closer. So this is not for someone to, it's not just a meeting or two. So make sure if you sign up for it, you're going to be traveling to Bend for meetings. And I wasn't sure we had anyone that was going to be doing that. But someone in the community might want
to. Yeah, I think, I could ask right here, is anybody in the in attending this evening that would be interested in representing Lapine in the Deschutes County centennial birthday planning? Hearing none, maybe we just put an ad in the...
Well, we could put, why don't you put it on our little website for put it under our announcements and things and see if anyone would like to. There's got to be someone between here and somewhere. Yeah.
Maybe we send an email to the chamber and have them put it in their, they put out a lot of buzz letters.
Patty, would you do that? Okay. Get that to the chamber and find someone.
All right. Moving forward, item 13, resolution 2015-01. A resolution supporting and authorizing the City of Lapine to apply for the Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development, Transportation and Growth Management Plan. Program.
What that
tell
is
us about that?
Yeah. Man, I'm so moved up here. I don't know why. I don't need the resolution. I wrote it. Well, oh, I've been too busy.
I was going to say
everybody's been on me all day. But that is. In fact, Kathy was asking about what this all was, so now you can get it. It goes along a little bit, it can dovetail with what we're going to get with Kathy coming up. Well, one, we like to go a lot of directions here, so that just keeps everything busy. The state of Oregon had, through the solutions team, Annette Leba and the DLCD and everything, when they were been here for a meeting, we talk about, we don't know what we want to be when we grow up, what's our downtown going to look like. In other words, we created urban renewal. And we say, well, we're going to do storefronts or we're going to do a streetscape. But what do we want that to look like? You know, everyone has a different vision. So they called me a couple, 3 months ago and talked to the director in Salem. And they said, you know, we've got some grants we could give and send someone over. We would pay for an employee to come over. Actually, it's a contractor they hired out where they would have a meeting and go around, talk to people, then have one at a group meeting and start working on kind of what kind of thing we like to be and do in our downtown, and then that helps you get other grants. So it'll deal with safety, bikes, sidewalks, all that kind of stuff. And then they would also take it to a code where they would help rewrite codes if we need to, because it doesn't do you much good if you don't have a code that says you have to do things. The suggestions don't go over very well without a code to help move the discussion. So anyway, that's what it is. It's free, big free to us. And Prangle used it on parking. They had parking problems in their downtown. So they got it's called the TGM grant. That's the acronym. And so I have everything ready to go, but they need approval from the governing body, which is why I had Kathy and them come here, because I don't really approve grants, because they do sometimes cost us time and money and staff time. And so I don't commit you to anything, even if it's free to us, you still need to approve it. So this is going to go out tomorrow or tonight, Austin, tonight, 10 o'clock probably, to Salem. And then we'll mail it. So the grant part's done. I've done all the verbiage. This is the resolutions to say that we want to do it. And it's going to come through the state to the Land Conservation Development Commission.
Okay. Council, any discussion or comments? Question?
No, this is. I think this is exciting. It's another step forward.
Yep.
I'd love to see it.
Stu, anything?
I'm just giddy about it. No, I mean, really. It's exciting. It's good stuff.
I agree.
And then what we could do, maybe, grants going and this one, and they could, and if that person was working on that, then they could meet up and kind of combined. We could, this is kind of a step you need to get the state grants.
Is there a motion to approve resolution 2015-01, a resolution supporting and authorizing the city of Lapine to apply for the Oregon Department of Land Conservation, Development, Transportation, and Growth Management Program?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, opposed? It's unanimous. Item 13A, Public Works Committee.
Oh, yeah, so four of our seven members, which they're pretty active, that group shows up religiously. Anyway, four of the seven had their term expired January 1st, but under our rules they stayed until they're replaced. All four wanted to stay. They just nominated Linda Johnston as the new president. And Linda Johnston, Jim Fleming, who's here, Russ Smith, and Tom Weller are the four, their term is up. So if you would like to reappoint them to another 2-year term. Well, they all show up, those guys.
Yeah, they've agreed and they show up. And is there a motion to approve reappointment of these four individuals to the Public Works Committee?
I so move. Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. They're back in the saddle. Thank you. I'd just like to say that I don't attend the Planning Commission meeting because there's reasons that you probably shouldn't. But I do attend the Public Works, and I've seen it grow in these, and I'm sure the city manager will vouch for this, in the last 2 years, 3 years, into an organized body that asks good questions, moves things forward, and is aware of what their role is. And I applaud them for the great work they're doing. I enjoy going to those meetings because there's discussion takes place and resolutions of issues and agreement. I think it's a sign of Lapine growing up. And I'm proud of them for certain. So, Public Works, thanks. I'll keep coming. All right. Budget officer. Is there I'll entertain a motion to appoint the city manager as budget officer for 2015-2016?
Then between now and June 30th, yes.
Okay.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. And I do believe that we have worked our way down to the presentation. So if Kathy and Dan want to come up and enlighten us.
Where's the laptop?
So we'll start off, please, okay. While they're getting organized. So they came to the city a month or 6 months, something like that, and asked if we'd be willing to be the receiver of a grant that they'll explain what it does. So what they're asking for us to be is to be the vehicle for the Ford Foundation to contribute money for what they're going to talk about. What they're doing is good. I'll let them tell it. Then we will contract back out for it to have the work done. The Ford Foundation wants to, I guess, give it to a 501c3 or a public entity.
Right.
So we would be a vehicle. Our out-of-pocket cost sheet will be minimal. We'll be reviewing the contract, basically, and a couple copies and some stuff like that. So, but that's how we got involved with it. And I said, I want to make sure they came to you to get your blessing on it, because it does tie up a certain amount of staff time. And there's always, if you take on a contract, you know, you could say there's some liability. but there's liability sitting here tonight, so, you know, it's a manageable, but there is obviously. Yeah. Maybe the person you hire sues you because they don't think something went right. But anyway.
Okay.
Great. Thanks for having us here this evening.
Yeah.
Dan, if you'd like to start the presentation.
I'm going to ask you to speak up.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, we have to share this. Okay. Do we need to give our address?
Yeah. Sure.
So
I'm Dan Varco. My address is 15990 Pierce Road, Lapine, Oregon.
And Kathy DeBone, 16435 Sprague Loop.
So what we're looking at here is a proposal for, as Rick said, and Rick will save us some time because he explained it pretty well. We have a proposal for a team from RDI to come and do some work for us in the city, in the community around Lapine. And you can see they've sort of captioned it as the Lapine Economic Vitality Assessment and Action Plan. And the project purpose, if you can read the small print there, is to engage the leadership here in the Lapine area in ways that we can move forward economically, how we can keep our economy moving and stabilized, encourage small businesses to be successful and keep the opportunities there. The other part that you might notice there is the sustainability part, which is really important. And a key element that we're looking for out of this is ways that we can not only do some work to find out how we can be more feasible economically, but how can we sustain that?
So a reality check is to help discern competitive advantages and disadvantages for job growth. A clear list of priority economic vitality initiatives. Part of that is so that we're not stepping over each other as organizations duplicating the work. Increased organizational capacity to ensure that the implementation actually occurs. The scope of the work that follows seeks to balance the group's interest in having solid data about Lapine with a purposeful action plan. As we look to future, there's four things that we should consider. Where have we been? Where are we now? Where do we want to be and how do we get there?
So looking back, where have we been? Periodically, there's like, I look at it as snapshots. And some of you are familiar and some may not be with the charrette that was done. Ken Molinette, our mayor, was a part of that when our community came together and did kind of a similar project to what we're wanting to do again here, to find out, you know, what it is that we want to do with our community. And it was pretty significant. I've got the pages here of that, and this is available online as well. But it was a significant snapshot of Lapine and what Lapine wants to do, or wanted to do at that time. That was done in 2000. The purpose of that was to say, okay, what are we going to do to take Lapine to the next level? And it was very thoughtful. There was, I don't know, Ken, how many people? 40, 50, 60 people in the community?
There were 60 plus people.
60 plus people involved.
Best Western.
So they came together there and spent a fair amount of time with facilitators to decide, okay, what it is it that we want to do? The interesting thing is, this was done in 2000. I came to Lapine in 2001. And I had to dig this off of the internet. It was stuck on some shelf somewhere. And it wasn't out there where I could find it very easily. And I asked, when I did find it, a couple of years later, I asked some people, what's this about? And a lot of people didn't know. And so it was the work was done. Obviously, it was entrenched in people's minds, you know, that there's some goals we want, there's some things we want for our community. But for new people coming into town or, you know, maybe people that are growing up and saying, oh, it's my turn to be involved and engaged in the community, they weren't aware of this. I don't know, Greg, were you aware of this? No. See, so it's kind of hard to find. Well, part of what we want to do is make sure that the work we do now is not hard to find, that it stays in front of us and that we can stay on track. So that's one of the goals there that we want to accomplish. This is some of the things that they outlined that they wanted to see done. If you look in the kind of, you know, we want to stop and celebrate some of our accomplishments. The Performing Arts Center, that goal was set out, and guess what? They built the high school auditorium as a place where we could have a performing arts center. And it's used there by dance teams, it's used there for all kinds of events and things, and it's a good facility. Can you imagine not having that? I mean, you know, it works. We had some veterans appreciation events there and that kind of thing this year. Community Health Center. We recognize we need a community health center, and lo and behold, there is one. And it's been reorganized and better than ever now, and it continues to get better. Skate park. Now, it took a long time, and if this hadn't been put on the shelf, maybe it wouldn't have taken as long, but with Stu's help and some other people in the community, now we're starting the skate park. The kids were out there playing today, and hate watching them because I'm afraid they're going to break their heads, but they're having a good time. A safe house, to my knowledge, that hasn't been accomplished. But you can go down the list and see how many things, the parks, see the community fairgrounds. Well, we have secured some land for that. We're ready to move forward with that. New schools and school expansion we've done. The senior housing, the Little Deschutes Lodge 1 and 2. Those things came about because people took the time to stop and think, okay, who are we? What do we need here? What are we going to do moving forward? And so that's why we think it's worthwhile periodically to do this. And then you might notice down in the corner, the city did a similar look when you established your comp plan here in 2010, but that also might have been a little more city-oriented, not quite as much community-oriented as what we're talking about here overall, but it still has that overlap.
Okay, my turn to do some celebrating. FILP is the Ford Institute Leadership Program. It came to us in 2008. This is funded by the Ford Family Foundation and facilitated, subcontracted by the Ford Foundation to RDI to do this work. Cohort 1 in 2008 and 2009 did the 10 lights that you see on Huntington Road and also replaced the Roslyn Park building roof. Cohort 2 in 2010 and 11, there's a few of you in the room. Community event sign, which is placed just outside of City Hall here. The archway at Frontier Heritage Park, and also the playground with the path and the benches. They were very motivated. Cohort 3, they're just finishing this one up. They put that beautiful fountain in there with landscaping and flowers and trees and some legacy bricks over in the, also in the Frontier Heritage Park. What's going on right now is this beautiful public restroom. I cannot believe how many people are excited about this. It is something that was needed in the community. Just so you know, their slogan is Lapine, the place to go. So that's just turning out for you. Is this yours?
Yeah, so if you remember some of the questions that you have to ask yourself when you're going to take a look about what we need to do, well, also, where are we at now? And that's one of the things this team is going to come together and carefully look at our community, talk to leadership, talk to people in town, find out what is it that we feel like we need, kind of like they did with the charrette back in 2000, but now maybe take a deeper look and see what we want at this point 15 years later. And so the assessment will be very comprehensive. It'll be done in a short time frame, and we'll be finding out how can we leverage the assets we have, what we have here to work with, how can we best utilize it to move forward and have that sustainable economic vitality and growth.
Where are we going? Are we headed in the right direction? We'd like to bring this professional team in through Rural Development Initiatives, Rural Development Initiatives now has an economic vitality branch, as does the Ford Family Foundation. So we want to bring that team in. They've done this work before. We've looked at some of the past work. We believe that based on the research and the numbers, the data they're going to collect, the assessment, that's going to help us as a community map out 3 to 5 key initiatives.
So those initiatives are you know, action items, and so often we feel like we don't move forward, but this is designed to be turned into action items. So some of the goals here that they have for in this proposal that RDI has prepared for us is to improve coordination, communication, and clarity about who is doing what among the local entities. And how often do we find out somebody sees a bright and shiny project over here and wants to go to work on it, and then they find out after they get started another group is already kind of working in that field. And so we want to find out ways that we can communicate and be more clear about who is doing what, eliminate some of the duplication, hopefully. Establish and share common values. Find out what it is that people live here want. I hear that people don't want a Walmart, and so that's one of the things we want to make sure of. You know, maybe there people do want other things. To gain insight into what's realistic. What is an opportunity? We don't want to start out on something that's not attainable. We want to go where we can actually go. We talked about the 3 to 5 key initiatives. You can only take on so much. Like Rick said, we want to do a lot of things at once. Well, we want to focus that down so we're really doing some important things and getting them done. And then we can take on something else. And spurring on more, getting more people involved and inviting them in. You know, there's a lot of new people moving into town, and they kind of would like to be invited to participate. So we want to find ways to approach them and to bring them in to moving us forward. Like Mr. Morgan, that we just spoke, mm-hmm. I think he'd be a great one, and I can just imagine that he'd like to get in this.
We'll make sure we rope him along with this audience. We just wanted to, I think you have a copy of this budget, but we just wanted to talk about the budget a little bit. It is a $26,000 project to do this assessment and action plan. We have a grant ready to go. Hopefully today you will approve this, and we will hit the send button tonight to apply for this grant. We are asking the Ford Family Foundation for $22,500. And as you see there, there's in kind of $3,500. $2,000 of that would come from the city. It would be meeting space copies, and there will also be probably some legal fees to review the contract, the MOU between RDI, the Ford Family Foundation, and the city. And so we've estimated up to $1,500 for that. So again, the total project is $26,000. We're asking for 86.5% of that project. And the second part under expenses is the project work and what those costs will be.
Kathy and I have volunteered to do about $1,500 worth of public relations and work that we can do in kind as well, so that Ford doesn't feel like they're putting all the dollars out there bringing all the value. They want to know that the community is committed.
So the timeline, you know, Dan and I were putting this together today, and Mary Bosch, who we hope to work with on this project, now employed by RDI, Ford Family Foundation, actually the Institute for Community Building portion, introduced Mary to Dan and I back in June of 2014. And we've been talking about this project since then. We hope to have this project done by the end of May. So you can see that there's, you know, different things that are going to happen in the next few months upon approval of this. June, July, and August, we plan to work on the second phase of this, which is the sustainability piece, which will be a much larger grant request that will help us to provide a person who is paid to help us see these initiatives and these actions through. So that's the plan with that. Alumni celebration, there's over 125 Ford Leadership Program graduates in Lapine. Many of them are sitting right here and in the audience. So to celebrate that work since 2008, there will be an alumni celebration on Thursday, March 19th at 4:30. You're all invited. Some of you will be getting your invitations very soon. The alumni celebration will kick off this project. After the alumni celebration, this will be open to the community, community input. Just wanted to acknowledge some of our counselors and city staff that have gone through the program. Greg Jones and Patty Morgan are currently in leadership cohort for the bathroom project. Kathy Agan and Ashley Williams were involved in cohort 3, which is the fountain. Ken Molinex and Karen Ward were in Effective Organizations 2 in March of 2012. There's Ken and Dan stacking balloons. Karen, can you see yourself in the middle down there? Mm-hmm. Ashley, and then Stu, we didn't have a picture of you, so we put your mom. This is cohort 3 at the groundbreaking. Counselor Kathy Agan and Ashley Williams are in this picture. Cohort 4, Lapine, the place to go. Counselor
Greg. Did you see Greg? Yeah.
Did you see Greg in there?
Okay. Oh, there's an arrow.
Yeah. Oh, Patty's in there too.
Yes, she is.
Pat, oh yeah.
Is this you or me?
You.
Okay, so what we are asking for is your support to apply for this grant through the City of Lapine. Multiply your dollars. We will submit the grant tonight. If approved, we will keep you informed. We'll be back and let you know how it's going.
And I think that you have earned, this community has earned the respect of the Ford Foundation. They've invested pretty heavily in this community. These leadership programs don't come cheap. They have to send out facilitators, they rent space at the senior center and different parks and rec and different places, and they put us through a fair amount of training, so they've invested heavily there, but that's not the limit. They've also...
So Karen, I don't know if you know this, but the Ford Family Foundation did contribute $150,000, I believe, exactly, to the senior center to help build that. And the park building, as many of you know, it's in the process of several phases of being revamped. They contributed $200,000.
I believe
it was $200,000 or $250,000 towards that project. So they are heavily invested in this community, and they will be for many years to come. It's a wonderful opportunity.
And so we have sort of paid our dues. We've sort of positioned ourselves, and I want to give, you know, Kathy a pat on the back. She's served for a few years now as what they call a Ford Fellow. She's like a representative, and so she gets a little bit of extra attention from the Ford Family Foundation and makes it possible to be invited to request these kind of grants and that kind of thing. So just to let you know, it's really, these opportunities come because we've applied ourselves when the opportunity was there. And we will continue to do that. But this is not a handout. This is sort of like another opportunity they're giving us because we've been good stewards of what they have given us so far, and we've taken advantage of the opportunities they've given us. So basically, yeah, we hope we have your support, and we'd like to move forward. The cost, and I hope the risk, is really low for the city, but we need a good, credible entity to move this grant through. So I think that's
thank you. Okay. Well said.
All right. Council, questions?
No questions, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ford Foundation is a partner of this city, and it would be nice to see it continue. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see this along with the other things that are moving ahead, and I just support this fully.
Thank you.
Anything, Stu? Good.
I'm just going to go along with Kathy and Karen. The Ford Foundation is doing great things, and I'm behind the whole thing. It sounds like a good plan for the city. Move forward.
Okay.
We've got them all choked up.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I would just say that, you know, this is. I can't imagine what the city would look like without Ford Foundation cohorts. Yeah. There are so many people who have actually come from being outsiders that, I don't want to say bitch or complain or that, but didn't have a way to direct their energies. And through Cohort, they've been corralled, they've been taught, and they are effective leaders now and are participants in productive discussion of what's going on in Lapine. And I think this is just another example of, like you said, Dan, that we paid our dues, we've invested heavily in the bodies that we put forth or that have stepped forth to bring us to this point. I think it's a grand thing. I think if we think of just the two words, we're going to see ourselves assessed, a big assessment of what Lapine is and what it can be. And that's one grant. And then you've got the call to action.
Yeah.
And that's the next couple of years of big grants. But I think Rick has always said it the best. So many programs, just like the charrette, got laid on the table or up on the shelf. I know, and somebody helped me here, there was four or five quarter studies through Lapine. And they all got put on the shelf. Yeah. Then time would go by and they'd say, well, we need a quarter study. And so those are examples, but the idea that we're going to take this, Cohort's moving forward, we've now got an opportunity to get an assess and really look at what we can do for the vitality of this community and bringing all the groups together.
Yeah.
And then the call to action plan with a director of, or whatever that kind of model will be, but there'll be somebody keeping it on the top.
Yeah.
I think it's a grand plan.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. I think it's a great opportunity for the city to participate and let the community know that we want to see this too. So, excuse me.
No, that's all right. I just, to me, it's like we've been taking all these baby steps, just getting here. And now I look at this and the things that are going on, and I guess the words that keep coming to me are this is the promise of what Lapine can be in the future. And it just gives me chills. I just, I look so forward to all of this happening. It's a promise.
Yeah.
It's cool. A promise of what we can be. And I just thank you for all the work you've put in.
Well said.
Thank you very
well
much.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to approve or to allow the city to move forward sponsoring and working in this
basically
grant.
We're going to be the vehicle.
Vehicle.
We're applying for a grant to the Ford Foundation.
Okay.
These are the terms that, you know, so we'll be the recipient of the grant. We have to put it through our budget.
Okay.
And, you know, there could be some issues with that. But we'll see. It might be able to go in and it won't impact us. Because, unfortunately, under budget law, we didn't know this was coming, so we didn't know the money was coming in, which means you don't know what's going out. And it's all happening between now and July. So it's in this budget. The thing is, it's $27,000, and we normally have other income that we think was coming that wasn't. We have other expenses that we think is going out. So at the end of the day, it probably doesn't throw us over. But that was one caution that I just raised. The worst is we'll be doing supplemental budget probably anyway, so it just gets thrown in there because it was unanticipated revenue and unanticipated expenses. If this was $200,000 or $300,000, now that would be a whole different story.
Okay. Then I'll entertain a motion to approve the city plan for the Ford Foundation grant as to support a program as described here this evening.
I so moved.
Moved and
seconded.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? It's unanimous. We approved. I think that we got to public comments.
Just want to add to what Stu said about the highways, 395 is World War One, 97 is World War Two, I-84 is Vietnam, the I-5 is Korea, 101 is Iraq, Afghanistan, better. And the bill has already been introduced. I don't know when it's going to be voted on. So that's the plan as it was now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Public comments? Okay. Thank you very much. And staff comments?
Tuesday, you know, the arms thing, so we'll be having our rate study thing at 6 on Tuesday night, right? Next Tuesday. You'll all be there.
17th.
Yep. And the consultants will be there, and he sent me their little program today, so they've shrunk that way down. You saw the story in the Vid Bulletin today, maybe? Some of you.
Yes. Yep.
They called. Well, he was here yesterday and then did a good job. You know, I talked to him last night and helped him with that. And we were also in the Newberry, and that story was fine. Interesting how people read things and they think it's something else. So, but I was at eating today, and the guy came up to me at the restaurant and said he saw it. It sounded okay based on what he read there. But we'll have others, so don't worry. The thing that's need to do is get a goals, kind of a budget goal setting session we like to do to kind of talk about any priorities you're going to have for the, as we're starting to put the budget together. And so I didn't know when something like that would work for you guys. We're starting to bunch up a bit because, you know, budget's extra things that come along, and I didn't know if the 24th following Tuesday. I don't want to do it on Wednesday because people are heading Thursday toward the city's day and everything. Yeah. But I thought that Tuesday we could do, because it'd be more kind of a 2 o'clock to, you know, 3 hours or something, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, as that would work. I was trying to do it before March because then I would start working on it and everything. But just as a, we'd invite those who are on the budget committee to come. Not budget hearings, nothing that's a formal or official. In fact, we have two vacancies which we're going to keep hunting for. That's the next topic. So, do any of you, are you willing to meet on the 24th?
Is that in the afternoon or something?
Yeah, we could do 2 o'clock. That way you're done with work.
Okay.
And you know, have a snack, be done by 5, so you can all be home for your evening news.
Yes.
Okay.
Those. Yeah. Is that
2024?
2 weeks now. Basically, this month.
Let's do it.
All right, Patty, would you put that down? Mm-hmm. So we'll have a budget goal setting session at 2 o'clock on the 24th. That's the only item on the agenda.
Okay. And where?
Here. Oh, you want to, you know what, we don't want to go right there. How about what Crescent Creek's little
clubhouse?
Clubhouse. I was going to ask Dawn if you could get us Crescent Creek's clubhouse that afternoon on the 24th. Yeah, 2. Could you check into that?
Yeah, I could.
You have a key, I bet.
Yeah, for the part of it.
We want the nice part.
I think you didn't want to go in with the exercise.
Yeah.
Well, we
so
want,
check into that.
Now, we want access to the bathroom, so that takes that key.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought then that we, a different setting, and he'll turn the fire on for us. Okay. Then we do have, if any of you know, we have 2 openings on the budget committee, and they have to live in the city limits. This is one you can't live out, so... We put an ad in the Newberry and we haven't had a call, have we?
Mm-hmm. It's also in the West Bay.
Yeah, and they're knocking the doors down.
Yeah.
Which is normal. You know, we can run one short. It'd be nice to at least get one more.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have anyone that you know that's in the city, it's usually about 3 meetings. 2, 3, 2, you know. So...
Okay.
Maybe we could get some off our public works committee that lives in the city or something too. I guess we've had, you know, it's like today, it was just, you know, definitely there's kind of an increase in calls and things on construction or economic development. Now, we don't have anyone doing anything to speak of, although they're, you know. But today we had a site plan meeting on the house that's going to be remodeled on Huntington. So we actually had the fire chief here, we had Deschutes County here, so they all sat around the table. An example of that was they had drawn in a 7-foot, we were at Bond Street parking for 3 spaces on Huntington, and needed the county to make sure that they were okay with that, because that Huntington doesn't have Bond Street parking. So I had them come early because I didn't want to melt down, as I told them, in the, with the people that are doing the project. So, and they said, no, he's too old and grumpy for meltdowns. But they brought 2 of them came down. But you know, interesting, they said, you know, really it should be an 8-foot, because how many of you, you're in these towns that are a little narrow and you try to open your door and you got to look, because guess what's coming off as soon as you open your door? Mm-hmm. And so there's a standard, and it tells all these RTSP, which was just done a year ago, shows a 7-foot. County and the national standards want 8 feet, so there's a little bit of a thing. And so they've drawn in 7 because they followed RTSP with their engineer. Well, so then county asked for 8. And so that's the kind of thing that went on there. And in this case, the owner, the developer, agreed to 8 feet, which means he's giving up 1 foot of land because it moves over 1 foot. Mm-hmm. So he's giving up 1 foot of his property, and that will be deeded to the city. I mean, there's several feet being deeded, but now it's another 1 foot. We had to tussle our way through it, but it was, the fire chief talked about accessing fire hydrants and all those things, so it really worked well. And Bill was here, and we'll send out kind of the approval things. I think people are going to like that project when they see it, but it kind of shows how it can all work. But then another guy come in, and he wants to put in a couple fourplexes. You know, the road he's doing it on, and things are going to be a problem, so... I'm not sure that will happen, but then that takes some time. And another guy from the industrial park called me from Southern Oregon and had been talking to us, and you know, he needed some stuff, so I had, you know, Patty, because when it comes to economic development, I get right on it. So, you know, got some information, and then was interested in DEQ issues on the property. So even though it's private land, I called the DEQ, worked up a map, showed there was nothing, PDF'd that to him. Called him at 7 o'clock tonight, or 5:30 or 6. You know, so those things all threw me today, and then someone else came in and they needed an hour, so that was fun. And I sent you an email on kind of the skate park and an extension with the road at the park thing. So read that. I sent that at about 5:55 or something. So you were probably already sitting here. So, anyway, I was at the Parks District meeting last night. They requested I do some research for them on something, and I spent a couple hours on that this morning. So, we're busy, that's for sure. And our public works guy got a car certificate. Another certificate.
Oh, yeah. Our latest hire with the public works department, he's moving up. He's been here almost a year, so he's starting to work into getting water and sewer certificates that you have to have a year experience in to get.
And his year's up, so Scott and I met yesterday, and gave him a 50-cent raise for a step increase, because we don't have a step schedule yet, but you can't be frozen at your starting wage. And also then, in our agreements, he gets 50 cents for each certificate, so he's actually going to get a dollar raise, and that's good. And then also, they're going to start working on getting CDLs. He has one, but Scott and Johnny are going to, right?
Yes.
they're going to work on CDLs. And then our public works committee is going to meet over. We got new chairs for the conference room called the main room over there. Those guys have a computer down to share, so now we're sending in
work orders.
Work orders will be computerized because our system's computerized, but they weren't. The workers. So now, you can tell them what to do.
Yeah, Patty or Ashley can generate work orders, has all the information of the property out of our billing software. It comes into us, we can do whatever work is necessary and then complete the work order, send it back to them. I think it's much better on our side. I don't know if Patty thinks it's better on her side.
But then we have a computerized record on both ends.
Right.
And so they each got email addresses, and I sent a test to see if Johnny responded, and so did Mr. Ward. And then a public works group is going to meet there next month, and we're going to actually have our meeting there on that Tuesday. And then where are we going on a tour of the sewer plant? Because the public works people haven't been over there. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's enough for me. Okay. Lots to them.
Any questions, Council?
I would like to ask on that. No. Are we talking Council comments?
Sure, we can go to Council comments.
All right, that's where we are. I wondered, could we put something, you know, either in our agenda that would list any new business licenses that have been coming through so we could see what those are? I know they're probably not many, but I just wondered if there's something we could do with that.
Well, right now they're all new because we never have business licenses.
Right.
So do you really want them all?
Well, if anything...
I mean,
how many do we have?
We have
a couple hundred.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking more of anything new that comes in, you know, that they're
I know
applying.
What you're... Yeah, you're asking for a new... like, you're thinking of new businesses.
Yeah.
But right now, I see the list, they're all new because we've never had one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we can try to... figure out how to separate all of that. I mean, because they come in, remember, there's people who do business here. I mean, there are people that can live in Bend and somewhere else, and you know, to be honest, on some of these, we probably don't even know they do, until they apply, I don't know what they do.
That's it.
So whether or not they're new to Lapine or not, so we'll see. But I do, we can give a printout of all 200 of them.
I think, personally, myself, which I just like to hear,
the major.
In the last month, we've gotten 6 business licenses.
Yeah.
If the, what I'll try to do is, I mean, I sign them, and if I see any that are sound interesting and new, you know, yeah, Patty's been calling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of funny today, I got a call, talk about Madras being on top of it. There's a story in the Madras newspaper about a business that we're adding something in it that I own. There's a little story, I bought it. And anyway, it was just, they called, because they go through the newspaper. And any story on a business or a change, they call, I get a cold call from them on my cell phone. They didn't say who they were in, you know, are you opening up a business? Mm-hmm. I said, who is this? City Matters. You haven't bought a business license. We haven't even opened. So, you know, I've been having her go through the Wise Buy. So any of you know of any, you know,
email it to Patty.
Yeah, because I got a call about greasers. Greasers from Corvallis. They called and they said, why didn't we get something? And I said, well, I'll bet it's because you do business here. Yeah. Do you have a business license? No, and I was expecting a meltdown. And she says, oh no, we actually buy them all over. So and I think we just got one from Pepsi and got one from one beer company. And
right.
So. And in fact, any money on this thing we just approved tonight, what if we spend $1,000, I'm going to take it out of the business license fund because this is, you know, I help do some of that. I'm going to make that much cheaper. I'm going to do the legal work, I think, to avoid, in order to get it done this spring.
Yeah.
I'll always go ahead and do it.
Okay. Stu, anything on council?
No.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention I went to the LOC Small Cities informational meeting, annual information meeting, and we got to talking about rate studies and rate increases. They encouraged everyone who has a vote in that to be sure you call the ethics board before you vote. Let them know because it's an actual and a potential conflict. So,
are you talking about
voting for a rate increase? Being on the council and voting, we're customers. But yet we're also participants in changing the rates. So, just to cover yourself for any ethics.
Who gave that advice?
Doug was the CEO of the LOC, actually.
That guy that was up in Rufus with us.
No. This was at the meeting in Redmond on the 5th. I forget his name. I'm sorry, but no. He said, you know, just to be safe,
Mike.
I know Sean.
Sean. He's the legal attorney for LOC.
For the LOC. And he was saying it's a good idea just for us to make a call and let them know what we're going to be voting on. It kind of releases you from any harm from the ethics board. Because if someone was to say that, you know, it was unethical for you, oh, it's not really, because there's an exception in the rules, but they still think it's a good idea for each one of us to make a phone call, just let them know what we're going to be doing when we get to that point, just to cover yourself.
Do you want to send everybody a email with the phone number?
Yeah, I'll try and get that phone number. Let's see if I can get a hold of it. And I'll leave that, email it out. And I guess we'll talk about the other stuff later that was discussed. There's some ongoing discussion about the marijuana law. And for those people in Lapine who don't want the marijuana shops coming, there might be an out. And it'll have to be something placed on our general election, so businesses can start in 2015.
That's right.
2016, when the general election comes up, we could vote them out.
That's recreational.
Yeah, the recreational.
Yeah, the confusion that everybody's having is between recreational, medical, and they're all, and the legislature is talking about recreational marijuana right now, but we're working on medical.
Right.
And then there's a little overlap because some of it gets brought into the legislature. I had a reporter the other day call, and he's the bulletin reporter in Salem at the Capitol. And he's going on, and we're on this phone call for 15 minutes, and I could tell, wait a second, you and I are on different wavelengths. I'm talking to him about medical marijuana. And then I could tell he was not, finally. And so I said, did you know we have a moratorium on medical marijuana? He said, no, what are you talking about? He said, well, all my answers are around medical marijuana. Didn't know? He said, well, no. I said, what? I said, well, a year ago, the legislature passed a bill that gave 1 year a moratorium, and the city of Lapine passed a moratorium that's up May 1st. He said, well, I didn't work here then. I don't know anything about a moratorium. And I said, well, you better go get that bill. See, so people are confused, and I read a story yesterday saying that you could opt out and things. It was recreational, and nowhere in the story did it say recreational. And so while we're working on medical marijuana, people read that and they're thinking one thing. So today we had a medical marijuana person call. And I had a guy in here last week on medical marijuana. So Bill talked to the guy today. And so Bill and I spent way too much time on this marijuana stuff. And Bill and I talked about that today. He wants us to send him a letter that he's more than 1,000 feet from school. We said we're too busy right now. I'm not going to go measure it for him. So,
anybody else? I seem to be catching you with your mouth, but I'll go down here. You got anything for council or any comments?
I did attend the Park and Rec board meeting last night. What actually came out there was that they took a consensus and they're not going to do a levy because they don't have enough time to do that. So that was sort of good news. And they talked about moving their skateboard park out toward the high school.
And the 5 acres beyond the high school.
Off of Memorial.
Mm-hmm. Off of Memorial and Couch. Coach, is that Coach?
Coach.
Coach, we go. The school district owns the first 10 acres, but it's I know it well today because I had to GIS it. It's 350 feet. Is the schools the other side? I think is the gentleman from Lebanon that owns land, a lot of land out here. Is that guy?
You mean on the corner?
No, just school owns on this side. Yeah. Someone else owns on the other side. Someone from Lebanon.
Okay.
And then behind that, the Parks District owns 5 acres. And so the Parks District is trying to, this is for the permanent skate park, they call it. The concrete was the term they used. The bowl type skate park. And they are trying to sign that 5 acres to put it out there. At least some of the board is. Isn't that a way to say that? But they needed a decision. They wanted a decision last night that that's where it was going because someone's going to draw it up. And they need the people designing it need to know where it's going because that dictates size, shape. So that, when you read your email that I sent you, because the road, what the path they were going on was just the discussion of the skate park, what it's going to cost. That means the bowl or bowls. they have that. Well, then I'm sitting here thinking, well, wait a second. This is 300 feet down at the end of a road that is a dirt. I mean, there's no road. It's two private property owners. And you have to have a right-of-way of 60 feet because that will go further someday and it will develop on all sides. And then they talk about bathroom. There's no sewer or water. And so you have to have a main line because you don't just run a 2-inch line because there's other properties. And so you have to run extend a main line. And those are 8 inches and that's $5,000. And I just kind of told them that you will spend more on the development getting to the property than you will on the actual skate park. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's various levels of liking that information.
Last night.
Yes. Some of them are not, wish that message wasn't relayed. And so today, at a request of the director and their chair, wanted me to figure out an estimate of what it would cost. So I had Eric, I emailed him at 6 a.m. this morning, and Eric had just finished doing some bidding in Sisters, so he knew how much road pavement is per, you know. So we kind of did an estimate to have a sidewalk, biplane, two travel lanes, 22 feet with, you know, and so we have a whole standard, and you know, you have to base it and do all that, because that will be a city street. We will maintain it. If it falls apart, it's us. Mm-hmm. And so he sent me that in Excel spreadsheet, and then I took out landscaping and things, saying, hey, we're not going to try to make this, you know, we're trying to be very, you know, conservative with it. So I took out any landscaping requirements. You still have to have the where the, it has to be where it would go. Because when it develops someday, you need the bioswale.
Right.
So, because if you allow the sidewalk up next to a narrow road, then you have to tear out the sidewalk when you go to do everything. So you've got to put the sidewalks out on the outside edges. They become almost your, so, and I even took out the sidewalk on the west, east side, saying just, you can't have the kids riding to and from this in the middle of the street. So you have to have a sidewalk, because that's, you're drawing kids down there. And, you know, I mean, I didn't get into street lights and everything else that you could do, but bottom line is, it's $50,000 per 100 feet to put in...
all of the stuff.
Yeah, sewer, water.
Street.
Sidewalk. Street and one sidewalk. And I called Vic Russell, and he even gave me some prices on asphalt that kind of matched up with what he gave me. So again, that's a ballpark. Does that mean it's 40,000? Is it 60,000? You know, call it 50,000 per 100 feet. And if you need 350 feet, you can do the math on that, 50 times 3.5. And so it's not a small project. And then we have to have a site plan. And I explained to them that the site plan has to be an engineered site plan that is, you know, and that isn't included in any of this. You know, the list is, and so I was afraid that they're going to be naively moving down a path, and it's fine. It can legally go there, but just understand you're going to have $100,000 to $200,000 of costs before you even start a skate park.
Do they have to get a permit?
Oh, sure.
I mean, so their first step's a site plan and then permitting and all
that. Well, actually, for their first thing is getting several $100,000.
Right. No, but the idea is that they would, they're going to have to do the permitting process like anybody else.
Yes, and there seems to be some different opinions on that they could go somewhere else and you wouldn't have all of that. But that's where there's...
That seems
lots of ideas.
That's a good report, Rick. Thank you.
And they might want to consider talking with other cities who've built those, because and if Ben had a problem with theirs, it was set way back in the back of a park where they're kind of away from public notice, and it got to be kind of a hangout, and putting it way out there where there's no kind of supervision, that might not be such a good idea.
So Stu will have to kind of look at the letter I sent, just kind of, because you've been active with this and before, and they had two skaters there, and I can just, what happens is it's the big mean people, and this, you know, my point to them is, you know, how we get emotional here. Well, I'm sorry, but from the city standpoint, emotion's going to have to, this has to be built correctly and right. And, you know, otherwise all of us pay. And I don't want, this isn't, well, we're doing this for the kids. I'm sorry, this is, well, because what I didn't add is in their plan, their proposal is a soccer field with it, some sort of bike trails and other things. So
I didn't know anything about this meeting.
Well, it's just a regular meeting.
Yeah.
Their parks meeting, it's their right. monthly. So,
well, I mean that they were, because usually they'll send me an email.
It's on the agenda every month.
Oh, is it? Skate, the skate park.
Pretty much, when I'm there.
Okay.
Yeah. So you start looking at all that, and it's just.
I just thought of something else. Linda, Kathy's mom, is working on the bathrooms over there, and the parks department is requiring that they have lights, which wasn't in their original budget. And she wanted to have put forth that, you know, maybe where we pick lights this year to put in new street lights, we could put one over the bathroom. it might be a good thing, you know, to keep
keep
problems away again.
Yeah. So you might catch some time on some of this, but I mean, well, I just simply laid out that these are the things that we have to have a road, and it's got to be paved, and you got to have a sidewalk, and they know they need sewer and water. They didn't even deny that. So it's not that's just what it costs. I mean, you know, none of us are out running companies doing that. It's bid out, and just the way it is.
Well, I appreciate the report, because I think it's important that we all know this. You know, I mean, that I hadn't thought of that, but obviously that's what we need to be thinking about when we think projects like this. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, you just got the land back here, and it was good though.
Okay, good question.
Yeah, Karen's there.
That was a good meeting.
Yeah. Anything else, Council? There is a VTEL meeting in the morning at 7 o'clock at the training room at the Bend Fire Station, and the VTEL is where they put the all of our legislative group from this area, Central Oregon, on TV, and it's direct talk, and you can ask questions or talk about bills. And just to comment about bills, there's 14 to 18, and I forget what the number now, but marijuana bills up in front of the legislature and the legislature. So there's all kinds of stuff going on. But the VTEL is the second and fourth Thursdays of every month while the legislature's in session. And they're held at the fire station behind the sheriff's department in the small training building further back in the parking lot there. They're great to listen to what's going on in the legislature, what bills have been put in and what bills affect us and stuff like that. So it's early to go, but it's a great venue. So I encourage everybody that would like to see how that works to go to that.
I wonder if they'll cover the budget cut, that huge cut they're getting.
There'll be all kinds. I've been to them, and there's all kinds of questions and all kinds of input from different segments, you know, city managers and county road people, and there's all kinds of questions go out, because there's 2,000 bills already been put in. Gene Wisden, I think, said there's
normally 3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah, but right now there's up to 2,000 or more, and they're on everything. They cover everything. So
well, they contradict each other. they put in fake bills.
Holders.
They put in fake bills. They put in fake bills. Gut and stuff. I teach that to a class called Gut and Stuff, and that's one of the little tricks they do. So you put in a fake bill that you will pass. It could be something like just. We're going to name something after a veteran or whatever. They just, you know, happen. They wouldn't do that, actually, but something you know everyone will like. Passes. But what they know is they have something else they really want, and they needed something that will pass this committee, because what they want won't get out of the committee. Then the other side, the Senate, then grabs it. It's already passed the House. You can take 100% of the bill, pull it out. That's called gutting it. You stuff in a totally different bill.
Subject and all.
The only thing it has to do is relating clause. So if it says relating to public works, you're going to pass something, it could be relating to the fire service. And then they gut it out, they put in something that's involving fire, and it's totally different. I mean, it's totally different. It's already passed the House.
Really?
And, yeah, and, but what happens then, and when that happens, it has to go back to the House because you've changed the wording. But at that point, it goes to a different committee, or it goes to the session. It's a way to get, if they have someone running a committee, they can't get it out of that committee because they know the chairman doesn't like it. The chairman's decide what moves, and a chairman of the committee will say, I'm moving it. But they can't get it out of there. So, but a good legislator can sniff out these placeholders. He'll know, why is this in here? I sniff of the rat. But that, oh yeah.
Okay.
It's your legislative lesson.
Well, that's a good one, but this detail is worth going to, and if you, you know, and it's open to anybody, so.
I'll be at Edco tomorrow. They're doing their annual. Oh,
their annual breakfast?
Dinner.
Lunch. Yeah. Okay. I have no mayor's comments beyond that. There is a regional solutions team tomorrow, which I will attend at 8:30, following VTEL. And they're moving this, the action is to move this $2 million request that's outlined forward. And sort of tweak it a little bit. And it's really relating mostly to OSU, Cascades, and CET Transit in support of OSU Cascades. So that's where most of the money is sort of designated for. So be listening in on that. And that's all I have. Anything else, Council, before we move to adjourn?
So moved.
We're adjourned. Somebody said it. Thank you.